Good morning. So most of the time when I don't preach that often, but when I do, I typically don't lead worship, so I'm sorry that you're getting a double dose of me this morning. So let's pray before we get started. Father, I just thank you for every person here. God, I thank you that you have and had this awesome plan in mind when you created us, Lord. And so I just pray right now, God, for every lie or every misconception of how you've called us to walk would just be broken this morning, Lord. I just thank you, God, for your words and your calling on all of us. And so just anoint this time, Lord. Speak to all of our hearts. Open our eyes and our ears to what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my notes are in pink. No, not just because B is pink paper, not because it's about a woman, but I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. So I do have a serious question, though. Has anyone had a difficult time focusing because the first thing you smelled when you walked in the building was bacon? Because I have had a very difficult time focusing. I'm just joking. It's great. It's a good smell. come on. We can laugh. So I am really excited. I was telling Brandon as I was preparing for this, I always get a little bit nervous when I'm speaking about something that has a topic that's been given to me. You know how we're kind of all walking our own salvation out and you're in a certain season and so God's saying something to you. It's very easy for me to talk to you guys about that. It's a little bit more difficult when I have to really, really think about something that maybe God's not saying to me. But as looking at this, I'm like, wow, God is saying all this stuff to me. I just wasn't conscious of the fact that he was being super purposeful. Go, Jesus. You're so good at that. So that's good. So I know, men, if you have already tuned me out because I'm talking about the royal woman, I'm going to ask you to tune me back in because this does apply to you. And what'd you say? So we're going to talk about that this morning. But, you know, kind of coming into this, as I was praying about it and everything, and just being aware, I was thinking back to when I was in high school. I've been out of high school now. It'll be 15 years in June. I'm old. And it'll be 15 years in June. And I was thinking about some of the things that you navigate through as a teenager. Brandon does the youth, and it's so interesting just to see some of the things that kids are walking through. And I think we've all identified. Have you ever looked at that teenager and you're like, yeah, you can't pay me enough to go back and do that again? It's just a very confusing time, right? You're trying to figure out who you are. What's so interesting is, you know, you kind of navigate through that, then you get into your 20s, and then you have to figure that out all over again. And then as a woman, for me, you get married, and then you have to figure it all out again. And then you have children, and then you have to figure it out all over again. And so there's all of these seasons. And so what the Lord has really been speaking to me a lot is, have you guys ever noticed, like, you'll be going throughout your day, and sometimes you react in a way that you're like, where did that kind of come from? Have you ever snapped at somebody, or something came out that you were like, ooh, that was kind of gross. Where did that come from? Has that ever happened to you guys before, you know? Or you wake up grumpy. I hate that, you know? You're like, I'm in the shower and I'm ready to just, ugh, you know? I don't like this day. It's Wednesday or whatever. But being conscious of what's going on inside of you. And so what the Lord has been walking me through is I've just been very conscious of this season that I need to know why my heart is doing what it's doing. I need to be purposeful about that. And I just think it's really important that we take stock. This was a couple weeks ago. I'm going to share something about my husband and I. Brandon was at a basketball game. He plays in a basketball league, and I was raking the leaves, and I was ticked off. I was ticked off at him. I had no idea why. And I actually knew that I had no idea why. And I was raking the leaves. I'm like, Holy Spirit, I am mad right now. I don't know why I'm mad. It's all directed to him, but I can't even tell you what he did, which is kind of weird, you know. And I really felt like he stopped me there, and I wasn't mad at him. There was something else going on inside of me. But if I hadn't taken that moment, you know, I could have, you know, ripped into him the second that he got home, and we would have had a fight, and he'd be like, I don't know what I did. I don't know either. But taking stock of what's going on inside of your heart in the season that you're in is so important. And so I throw that out to you guys this morning to even take a second as we kind of really get into this. Take stock of what's going on inside of you, because that is going to really flavor how you absorb all of this, how you walk as a person, and The Holy Spirit is so good at showing you what's going on inside of you if you ask him. It sometimes takes time, so, you know, make sure you're blocking off some time. But knowing if you're just reacting in a strange way, there's usually something brewing inside. All right, so with that said, let's get into this. That was just an aside, but I feel like it's important. So, how do I walk as a woman of royalty? So, there's this saying that you train people how to treat you. Have you ever felt like someone's treating you really, really bad? And you're like, why are they treating me so bad? We train people how to treat us. And so, whatever we are leaking and giving off, that's usually what's going on inside of us. We have this internal environment. So I walk purposefully as a woman of royalty, as I am learning this, to walk purposefully. So I used to do pageants back in the day, and one of the girls that I did pageants with yesterday, she did like this like he woman contest. It's not called he woman contest. I have no idea what it's called. You guys can laugh. I feel like we need to have more smiles today. And she was talking about, she posted something because she literally went from, you know, you see these people, they're like super duper ripped and you're like, do you eat? You know, how do you do this? And she was talking about the fact, she had this quote about how it's not about looking way down the road, but it's about looking at that one day and what you can accomplish in that one day and accomplishing the goals for that day. And if you can do that, then you can get to the next day and the next day. You see where I'm going with all of that? And so the royal woman walks purposefully. And it's really difficult sometimes to navigate through all the things that you have to do. It's the same thing as a man. Does anybody write down goals? Like for your year, you know, it's January 1st, and you're like, yes, I'm going to write down my goals for the year. This is what I want to accomplish. But because you don't have the sub-steps, you're on like January 15th, and already you're like, well, I've already failed at all of my goals because I haven't been very purposeful in those. And so a royal woman walks with purpose. In 1 Chronicles, it says this, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And yeah. On Friday night, Ray William, I wasn't in here for this. Brandon had told me this, but he was just talking about how he was convicted when he was leading worship for 20,000 people because the words that he was saying he knew weren't the reality of his life, you know? And we were talking about people like in India or people in third world countries and stuff where they're literally at the most desperate place that they possibly could be at, and they worship from that place. Can you imagine worshiping and coming together on a Sunday morning or in your own private time and you're worshiping from a place where there's literally no other answer? I can say that my hope is in the Lord, but I have 10 other things that I can put my hope in, right? But if I'm at a place of such desperation, I'm going to seek him a little bit harder. I'm going to seek his face a little bit more, right? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. A woman walks with purpose. And so whatever stage you are in your life, it kind of goes for that. Like, what is your goal? What is your day look like? There's been times where I've just had a purpose myself. Like, I just need to get through the next hour and be kind to my children because I feel grumpy. That is my purpose right now. And I'll tell you what, at the end of that hour, if you walked through that appropriately, you feel victorious. And then I have to get through the next hour. You know, and sometimes you have great days and it's very easy to walk with purpose and you have your plan. But if you make lists, sometimes the list just goes out the window. But seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And if I am at a place of absolute desperation, I'm going to do that. But here's my goal. I don't want to have to be desperate to seek him. So I'm married, right? I hope that in our relationship, I don't have to be desperate with time for him in order to spend time with him. Does that make sense? So I'm not going to go weeks and weeks and weeks without talking to my husband, without checking in with him, without having date nights, without having conversations. I'm not going to go weeks and weeks and then all of a sudden be like, I'm just so desperate for time with him because I haven't seen him in a month. But I would like to be desperate for time with him moment to moment, day to day, hour to hour. And that's what it is with the Lord. And if we sometimes approach him that as that, like, I just feel so empty. Well, you've poured yourself out. Sometimes your entire self can be poured out in an hour and you need to be filled up. And so you go back continually. So if you are desperate for the Lord, I think that's awesome as long as you're coming from a place of I'm full and I want more, not I'm empty. Because if you're empty, it's because you've emptied yourself out. Because biblically, he says that you are full. Full and overflowing. If you're empty, it's because you haven't gone back to him over and over again. So if you're desperate and you're purposeful for him and seeking his face evermore, of a place of desperation, not of I have not spent time with him, I don't know who he is, I'm in such a bad place that I need to now seek him. But God, I love you and I can't believe how wonderful you are, so I have to have more of you. And the thing is, the more you spend time with him, the more desperate you become for him. And I know I've been in places where it's just, it seems so impossible to fit that time in with him. I have so much going on. We all have so much going on. It was awesome at home group a couple weeks ago. We were asking Miss Phyllis about time because we were talking about time. And we were asking when she was, you know, raising children, was it as busy as it is now? Because you hear now, oh, there's so many distractions. She said, that hasn't changed. They're just different distractions. It's always been busy. It's always going to be busy. It's a matter of making that time where you are seeking his face purposefully every single day, because that's going to shape your day so completely different than if you go through and try to fit it in. And I'm guilty of that, just like anybody else. She walks with purpose and consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Ladies, is it not true that if you wake up in a bad mood, pretty much everyone in your house is going to be in a bad mood? You know, you've seen this in workplaces. Have you ever gone into a workplace and you're just like, whoa, I need to get out of here? No? Okay, I go into a lot of places with my job, and there are certain places, like, I have to stand outside and be like, all right, game time, let's go. Got to get my happy face on, because this environment that I'm about to go in is stinky. Like, you're just going to see it wherever you go. Or there's certain grocery stores that you go to, and you're like, I don't want to go back there. Every worker is mean and grumpy, and they yelled at me for buying oranges. I don't know, you know? So you set the internal environment. So consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here's the thing. You can't give away something that you don't have inside. So as you're seeking his face continually and evermore and just being desperate for him, because the more time you spend with him and the more truth he gives you, the more that you want it and you want to eat it up. So I love the book of Ephesians. And every single time I read this book, every time I listen to it, I just want to shoot like a rocket. I don't know why this book speaks to me so much. I mean, it's a great book. We all have those. But it's like, I want to eat it. That's how I feel. Like, it's just so good. You know what I'm saying? And we all have verses like that, but that doesn't come just from reading it. That comes from reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and spending time with the Lord and letting him speak truth about all of those things and seeking his face and saying, guess what? I may not have a breakthrough during this quiet time. I may not have a breakthrough in the next 5 minutes, but I'm going to go back because I know it's there. Bill Johnson, I know I quote Bill Johnson, but Bill Johnson was talking. He does an Easter egg hunt with his children. Don't backslide. So this is what he does. He hides things. I kind of spoke about it this morning, too. He hides the eggs high. He hides the eggs middle ground. And he hides them low. And he walks with his grandchildren. And he talks about the treasures of God and how he hides them sometimes from his people so that they can search for him and he can walk with them. And he is so delighted as they find those treasures, seeking his face evermore. I think it's in, it's actually in that one song, and I believe it's in, there's another quote. It's just for the hope of his face that we come before him. We may not see him today, but tomorrow you might. You might have that encounter. And wouldn't that be amazing? Like, if with every breath, like, I've talked to so many people even here, they're like, I don't want to miss a Sunday because it's like, this Sunday might be the Sunday, you know? But every morning, this morning might be the morning when I get my breakthrough, you know? And we've all had those experiences. You have dry times where you feel like nothing's going on, something's always going on. But then you have that peak, and then you hold on to that because now you want more. It's like Oreo cookies. You can't eat just one. It's true. At least I can't. I can eat an entire package. I know. Don't backslide over that either. All right. And consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So whatever's going on inside of you, your internal environment, it's going to leak out on other people. If you find that you're having grumpy interactions with everybody that you're talking to, you're probably the grumpy one. You set the atmosphere. Women set the atmosphere very, very much so, I believe. I think that we can, just with one positive word, you really can turn things around, ladies. It's a pretty phenomenal gift that we have. And if you realize how to use it and understand that you can really call things out in people, it's amazing. I've experimented with this a little bit with my job. Teachers are awesome and they are not thanked enough for what they do. If you're a teacher or you work with children, props to you, because it is a hard job and you're getting, you're getting all the negative from all ends. And One thing I've been trying to do is just when I see something good in somebody, just try to call that out in a bigger way. And it's amazing how you speak a word and they're like, oh, you, I could do that. They come alive. There's something that comes alive in them. We can stir up love and good works in other people just by encouraging them. How good does it feel when someone encourages you or sees something in you that you would never see in yourself? And we have that gift when we're purposeful. So Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. We've all heard this story. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She's pretty ticked off. Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary had chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And we all read that story and we're all like, yes, obviously. But if you think about that, if this were at your home and Jesus came to visit your home and your sister's off and getting ministered to Jesus, which was not culturally appropriate at that time because women were not taught to at that time, men were taught to. But what did Jesus say? A woman at his feet, she's chosen the good part. How would we feel about that? But understanding that regardless of what you have going on, that purposeful time of seeking him and sitting before him affects every other thing that you do. And that Mary has chosen the good portion, and that will not be taken away from her. So ladies, some stuff can wait. Let it wait. He's a redeemer of your time as well. So what obstacles are present in regarding to walking purposefully? I don't think I have a purpose, right? You may say that, but, you know, or, oh, I know I have a purpose. But do you really know that you have a purpose? If you were to take a second and really take it, if I were to say, tell me your purpose in one sentence, what would you say to me? I have no idea, to get through the next week, you know, to get to the bacon that's out there. You know, I don't know what your purpose is this morning. I have no idea what my purpose is, or I don't know what that looks like. And I think that's key. You don't know what your purpose looks like. You know, you feel called. Have you ever just felt stirred up about something and then you have no idea what to do with it? Has that ever happened on a Sunday morning? You listen to this awesome sermon and you're like, I am ready to go. Like, that's one thing I love about Pastor Dan's preaching is like, you feel so stirred up. And then sometimes I'm like, so what do I do? You know, I'm like ready to sprint out of the building. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to do with that. And that's not a knock on the preaching, but we have to figure out how to find purpose within ourselves. And so I would say this, do you have people around you who are calling out the good in you that are able to kind of help you define what that purpose is? You know, for me, my husband is just, he's amazing because I tend to be like, la, here we go. You know, like that rocket that's about to shoot. And he pulls me back a little bit and gives me a bullet pointed list of how to do that, you know. And I'll tell you what, no, but you're probably, if you're married, you're probably matched in a similar way. I'm finding that with more and more couples, you know, you have your free spirit and you have your nerd. I'm free spirit. And I'm so thankful for my nerd because I wouldn't be able to function without him. So, but do you have people that are calling out good things in your life? You know, so a couple weeks ago, so for me, I'll just be real transparent. That's fine, right? So for me, the transition from having 2 to 3 children, not that big of a deal. It was a little bit difficult, like getting people to go places. I'm not saying I'm some super mom. I just didn't feel super stressed. Okay. So I had my 4th. Welcome stress. I can't get anything done. My floors have not been mopped in 4 weeks. I'm sticking to my floor. What is going on? Okay. So we also decided to homeschool our children. Why not? Why not? Have your 4th. Keep your children home. So yeah, it's a circus. If you stop by, I don't know what you'll see, but people don't ever stop by when my house is clean. Maybe it's because it never is. I don't know. So, but what when I was just having a really hard time struggling with it because I couldn't get done everything that I wanted to get done, right? I was trying to be purposeful, and I couldn't get done everything that I could get done. And Brandon's so great, and he sits me down and he's like, "Well, maybe what your focus is a little bit wrong because this is what you're supposed to be focused on, you know." And he said, "This is the season that you're in, and right now we're stewarding our children. That's it. Don't worry about the other stuff. Steward our children. Love our children. School our children. Worry about that. Cheat on your job a little bit," which I totally cheat on my job. But that's your job right now. And now some people, if they're a women's liver, you'd be like, excuse me, that is not my job. You know, I am just as good as blah, 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 because we spend, because the focus in the media and what has always preached to us all the time, and I have absolutely had this preached to me, is we have to be like a man in order to be a strong woman. I don't want to be like a man. I was not made to be a man. I want to be like a strong woman. What does that look like? Well, you know what a strong woman looks like right now? A purposeful woman looks like now in my house? I have four babies. I'm going to steward the heck out of them. I'm going to screw up and I'm going to have to apologize to them because I'm not perfect, but then I'm going to go back and seek his face and fill up again, and I'm going to pour out on them. And that's my goal right now. That's my purpose right now, right? And you know what? In 10 years, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to look a little bit different. But what is in front of you? And if it doesn't look glamorous, who cares? If you can pour yourself into that purpose that he's put in front of you, you will come alive. Because then you begin to call out things in people, and you have people around you that are calling out those things. And it was such a convicting and empowering moment when Brandon just said, don't worry about that other stuff. Focus on them. That's your job right now. Like, this house and those kids, like, boom, do it. All right, I will. I'll probably be discouraged tomorrow, but I'm going to pick myself up again, and I'm going to do it with purpose, right? I'm just being real, guys. So I would say, get people around you that make you feel good. Not that stroke your ego and tell you what you just want to hear, but people that are going to call out those good things. Anne Huntress is amazing at that. She will tell you, like, I just love it because she's just such an encourager, but she's honest. She's not going to tell me, like, Melia, that was a great sermon, if it wasn't a great sermon, you know? Or she'll say, this is what I see and this is what's going on. But you need people, you need friends in your life that are going to tell you those things. If you're walking by yourself, you're going to get lonely really quick. And there's somebody who likes to talk to you when you're all by yourself, and he's not going to tell you good things. Not about yourself, you know? But get around people that are honest with you, that are going to encourage you, and they're going to call those things out, because something comes alive when people call things out in you. And that's the truth. So, how can I overcome these obstacles? Where do you come alive? This is really important. So within the church, I feel like this is such a, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't even know what I think it is. I'll just express it to you. So it's very easy to say, because I don't preach, because I don't do worship, because I don't do whatever within the church, I do not have a calling. It is very easy, because you know what that does? It debilitates people. So you just don't feel useful, okay? So that's baloney. Who cares about, I mean, this stuff is important on Sunday morning, but I feel like in the broad scheme of life, it's very minimally important, okay? Understanding where you come alive, like there's something that, you know, when you are in your element, when Lydia is painting that children's wing, when Lydia is planning a birthday party, go to one of her birthday parties. Like, seriously, I'm like, can I do this stuff? There is a creativeness in Lydia that you see come alive when she expresses what she does, okay? There are some people that are encouragers. They come alive when they are building people up. They love it, right? There are other people that are builders. Like, you see this expression, you see the handprint of God when they're creative and they come alive. That's purpose. And knowing it and trying not to walk in something that's not yours, right? I am not artistic, okay? Not in a Lydia sense. It would be very abstract if I did the wing over there, abstract art, Picasso-esque, if you will. And I don't even know if that was the right genre. Who knows? I know nothing about art. Anyway, I cannot draw a heart symmetrically. No joke, right? I'm not going to try to be artistic because I don't come alive. I just get frustrated. That's all that happens when I'm in that element. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you've got to find it. Like, I watch my mom, and she's just creative with certain things. Like, I kind of stand back, because what I'll do is I'll do it first, and then she'll be like, well. And she comes in, and it's not in a negative way. It's just, it's her gifting. So she comes in. You ladies know, if you've gone to the ladies' meeting, like, for crying out loud, I couldn't present that if I tried, you know? But there are different things that you see people doing, and find out what that is. Where do you feel like you come alive? You see a musician that's, like, you know, really, really well. When Louisa plays piano, her element, right? Like, just, whoa, there she is. And so find that, own that, steward that, and don't try to do 100 things that aren't what you're supposed to do. Be purposeful at that one thing, and you'll thrive and succeed, and you won't feel frustrated. You'll feel alive. And if you don't know what that is, get around people that can tell you what it is, because they'll tell you what it is because they see it on you, because we're all giving off something, right? Yes? Is this good? Okay, good. So I walk purely. What does the Bible say about walking purely? Okay, this is important. So this is very important. Oh, so being a woman, I'm going to tell you what it's like to be a woman. Okay, there's a lot of images that come at you as a woman. Okay, so you have this one side where in order to be good enough, you have to be as strong as or as a man, which I feel like is really silly for a lot of reasons. It's just there's this whole, you know, war that we're seeing even within our society at these women trying to be as strong as men to prove something. I don't want to be a man. I'm not created to be a man, but I am strong. And what has happened historically, men, I love you. But some men get intimidated by strong women. They do. This is probably why. Because strong, to them, they feel like they're the man, so they're strong. No, no, no. Women are strong. Men are strong. We just have different giftings. That's all that it is. One is not better than the other. One is not stronger than the other. It's strength. It's just defined differently. But when a woman starts to try to act strong like a man, then you're going to see this, rah, you know, this, well, what are you trying to do? And so there's always this conflict of men trying to push women down and women trying to tell men how strong they are and that they don't need them and all of these things. But I would propose that we're much stronger because we are both made in the image of God. So I'm stronger with a man than I am by myself, right? But I'm not strong trying to be Malia as a man. I'm not as strong as a man. I'm as strong as a woman. And that's who I'm supposed to be. And that's not bad. I'm mouthy. Guess what? That's me. And I'm not going to apologize for it because there's been years where I felt like, because what has been, and I'm not saying this church. When I say the church worldwide, right? You're a woman, therefore you can't do this, 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 and this. But I feel it. So why am I not supposed to do that? That binds women. I could cry because literally it has shut up so many women. And it has affected the church. If we get on board and recognize women are strong, men are strong, men have giftings, women have giftings, they all have callings. And as we begin to appreciate and honor one another's giftings and callings, if we were just to do that, how strong would the church be? Instead of pushing people down because I don't like your gifting or your gifting makes me uncomfortable. You know, how strong would the church be if we began to build each other up and recognize I am strong as a woman, I am strong as a man. I'm not strong trying to be the opposite. But a lot is thrown at you. So there's that side of it. But at the same time, I have to be as strong as a man looking and acting a certain way. That is a lot of pressure on a woman. It's a lot of pressure. I've had 4 children. It's a lot of pressure. There's this constant battle with how you look and how you compare and how you measure up. And then, oh, let's throw in social media so that I can see all of the things that I am not doing that mom is doing. I can see all the ways that I don't look by looking at how she looks. Comparison is the thief of joy. It is. Stay off of social media if that's how you feel. If there's certain people that make you feel that way, just get away from them for a little while. If they're purposefully doing that, if it's all on you, you know. And it's good to be called up. But those thoughts that come into your mind, you don't have to agree with them. So when you talk about a pure mind and all of those things, that's what I would say. So in Ephesians 5, 1 through 33, it says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as improper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of the place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Here's the thing that I'm going to hit on all this stuff. So if a thought comes at you, that does not mean that you have to make an agreement with that thought. It says that we're supposed to renew our minds. That's not the Holy Spirit's job. It says to take every thought captive. When does it say this? It says this in 2 Corinthians, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So here's the thing. When something comes at you, ladies, that does not mean that you have to make an agreement with it. And I'm talking about impure thoughts too, Okay. So there is all of this stuff that is constantly thrown at you in the media of how you are supposed to be. There are things that Satan's just going to throw at you. And here's the thing. So it says that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, right? So sometimes we just think that he's here with like this sword and he's just ready to kill you. But I would say that he's here to steal a little bit more than he is to kill. Because if he can steal there and steal over there and then steal over there, he can slowly rob you of all of your joy and all of your purpose and all of your purity just by small thoughts. Do you understand what I'm saying? So every thought that comes in, you don't have to make agreement with it. You need to take those thoughts to trial. Do these line up with the word of God? Is this who I am? Is this who I'm called to be? All right, and so in all things, walking pure. So, yes, taking thoughts captive, if it's not the Holy Spirit's job to renew your mind, I'm going through my notes. Because again, like we talked about before, the thoughts that you agree with will create an internal environment. Whatever you've partnered with, you're going to show it to everybody because that creates the environment inside of you. That's why you see bad environments. People have partnered with thoughts. You don't have to keep agreements with those thoughts. I'm going to say that again. You do not have to partner with the thoughts that come in your mind. They're not real. They're not. Those are some of the weapons that are formed against you, our thoughts. If you were to write down every thought that you had every day, and if you made agreement with half of those thoughts, we would be a mess, right? Think about your three-year-old, if you have a three-year-old. I think about my three-year-old. He has lots of thoughts that come at him. And if he made agreement, if those were truth with everything that he felt, he would be a pretty destroyed little boy. But what's one of my jobs as a mom? I steward that. Well, okay, now Liam doesn't hate you. You know, that's not really what's going on. But all of those feelings that he feels, because thoughts will create a feeling inside of you, but you stop them, you take them captive, and then you line them up with the word of God, and you throw out the ones that are not true, because he will come and steal just a little bit at a time. Okay? I walk passionately. Oh, this is what I love. Okay, so throughout the New Testament, Jesus is always praising that person that pushed through the crowd. The woman who came and washed his feet, like, I think that they estimated like the oil would have been worth like $60,000, and she poured it on his feet, and he said, no, don't you understand? Everyone's going to know about what she did. She was passionate about what she did. The woman who pushed through the crowd, the blind man, all of these people were rewarded by their passion and their perseverance as they went through. And so are you passionately pursuing the Lord? Are you passionate just in life? Isn't it fun to be around someone who's passionate about what they do? Doesn't that bring something out in you? You can be passionate about cleaning bathrooms because everyone appreciates a clean bathroom, right? I would prefer someone who's passionate about cleaning a bathroom over someone who's like, I don't want to do this job, right? Now, there's little things like that, and then there's big things. But you're going to walk, and you're going to be drawn, you're going to be drawn to people that are passionate. And so a woman of God, a royal woman, is passionate. She knows her purpose. She knows her identity. She's walking through it. She's figuring it out. But she's feeling like what she does is important because it is, because it's her purpose. And you can be passionate about all of those things. Ladies, did you know that just encouraging your husband and being passionate about him puts wind in his sails? Guys, would you agree with that? When you have a wife, when you come home who's like, I love you, you're wonderful, and just really begins just to pour into them instead of like, you know, the children. When husbands are like, I'm leaving, I'm going home. It puts wind in their sails, being a passionate woman about all that you do, right? All right, so knowing your purpose and knowing your identity. All right, so how do men honor women of royalty? So let's just kind of go back real quick. You don't have to go back on the slides, Miss Sun, you're doing a great job. We walk purposefully, we walk purely, and we walk passionately. So how do men honor these women of royalty? You honor by esteeming, you honor by empowering, and you honor by equipping. In all settings, it's just like what we talked about before. We need to begin to value the fullness of God's creation. and what God said in Genesis 1, I believe. Let's create man in our image. So man is not complete without the woman, and woman is not complete without the man. And this is what I would like to say as far as we can begin to criticize one another for whatever. There's men out there that you would never in a million years want to be my friend because I'm too mouthy for you. Right? I know I'm mouthy. It's true. But there's a gifting in me. There's a calling in me. Right? And then there's some men that honestly, like their personalities, I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know? No, right? We all have these personalities of the opposite gender. There are things that we don't like, right? Am I not? Yeah? Yeah? So for whatever reason, we have that built up in us. But when we begin to see each other and value and honor the things that God has put in us that are gender specific, those strengths and those weaknesses, and understand that we can help one another, we can buffer one another, it's amazing. God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there are three parts that make the fullness. Man and woman create man, right? So we are better with one another. And as we begin to understand that and not criticize, I know women sometimes get criticized for being emotional. Guess what? You are lucky that we are emotional. What would the world be like if there were no emotion? Right? Oh, how boring. And ladies, we are so lucky that we sometimes have men to like, bring it in, Melia, you know, reel it in a little bit. And there is this nice line where we can buffer one another. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we can call things out and begin to see things in one another. And so that's how you honor me, is by you see me as value. That's how you honor every woman in this church, is you see them as value. You see them as beautiful. And don't silence yourself because of what the world says. Like, you're afraid. Like, I feel like what has happened too is because the media has twisted things so much with gender, and we don't know what we're supposed to be or who we're supposed to be. So we're just kind of all over the place and we're not really sure how we're supposed to walk. That's going to that's going to stop the church more than anything else if we don't even know who we are and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to walk, right? And men have been shut up. They can't compliment a woman because they're scared. When there could be a real good heart about that. They don't know if there's an impure thing, or we don't even know how to interpret that. But there's a holiness that God wants to restore to men's minds. There's a holiness that he wants to restore to their mouths as they equip women, as they call them up, and as women are called up to be strong, and then they begin to thrive. Because guess what, guys? If your wife thrives, your whole household's going to thrive. And ladies, if your husband thrives, your whole household's going to thrive. So stop trying to be the husband, and men stop trying to be the wives or trying to be everything. Work together and figure out what that looks like. And within the church, we can do the same thing. And I think that we're great here. I feel like there's a real acceptance of that. I don't feel in a box by any stretch. But I know that there are women that have just not spoken because they feel like they can't speak. And there are men who roll their eyes every time certain women do speak. So I break that off in the name of Jesus right now. Because we're called to be one body, and to be full, and to be royalty. And as we esteem one another and understand that's Cheryl's gift, Sharon's gift, I'm going to be all over that and call that out. And we begin to put people where they're supposed to go. Wouldn't that be awesome if we all came alive in our own giftings and we valued that with one another? Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to close down with prayer. I hope that was good. I know that it's a journey for everybody. You know, I know that we're all in different seasons and God's speaking different things to you. But if I can say anything, like, I just feel so excited as the more that I read about this and the more that I understand that God made me who I am and he is pleased with me the same way he's pleased with you. And it's all good. It's all good, you know, and he's going to get you through that season. He's going to take you through that season. You don't have to be a slave to the whispers and the thoughts because they're not real. So we're going to end. I'm going to have the worship team come up. And we're going to end the service this morning with no longer slaves. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, you don't have to come forward, but I would just encourage you, if you feel like you need a renewing of your mind, a renewing of your purpose, you want to take hold of what God has for you, whether you're a man or a woman, if it's a woman this morning, like I want to know that and I want to walk in that truly and find out what that means. This is not exhaustive by any stretch about the royal woman. And you want to come forward, that's great. And husbands and men of the church, if you want to be like, I want to value every woman. I want to value the church. I want to be someone who equips and empowers women. Let's come forward. God will renew all of those things. And he will give us a new perspective and he'll give us new eyes to that. Amen? Amen. You guys can stand right now.